2, episode 6. Hey, Tattlepod, where you been? Where have you been? My email inbox is fucking empty. It's like a ghost town with tumbleweeds in it rolling around. Nobody has emailed me any problems. Maybe you fuckers don't have any problems. Good for you. But where have I been? As I promised in my last episode, I literally gave myself the boot. Or should I say, Pops gave me the boot. And no, we did not break up. He just sent me to Italy. So all the men that were just for a fleeting moment, like, oh, here's my chance. Here's my chance to date Tattlepod. I'm sorry. I have to deflate that. You're going to have to keep waiting in line, guys. You just have to keep waiting in line. So yeah, I went to Italy by myself. And if you're wondering why Pops didn't go, it's because, well, let's be honest. We all know my situation, and he was never going to go. But he finally got tired of me complaining and nagging and bitching about it, and I got tired of waiting on his ass. So I went, and I went by myself. And as you expected, I'm no disappointment to anybody. I had several adventures while Pop stayed at home, and yes, he worried and fretted from the moment I left to the moment I returned. Worried his little lungi to a raveling. And if you don't know what a lungi is, feel free to Google it. It is a piece of clothing. I hear they're quite comfortable. You might actually decide to buy yourself one. But he checked in on me regularly. But one day I didn't have good phone service. I didn't know I didn't have good phone service. It's not like I was in a different time zone. I'm not checking my phone all the time. Maybe I probably put the motherfucker on silence, as it was probably driving me nuts. I'm sorry, honey. I didn't hear it. I don't think I was getting the calls or the texts, any of it. And so he was panicking. And here I was just flouncing around in Florence, stuffing my face, enjoying myself like I'm supposed to on my vacation. And here he is in the United States, worrying himself to death, called my host to find out where I was and to let him know he thought that I was missing. He literally thought I was missing. He was quite certain that someone had stolen my passport, my ID, credit cards, and me. And he was going to be contacting the U.S. consulate. The whole time, he was worried that, like, I was in a ditch somewhere, or who knows, I don't know, shipped off in a shipping container somewhere. I don't know who would even open that shipping container and think that I was any fucking prize. I would actually feel sorry for them. That'd be a punishment, because I can tell you what, if something like that happened to me, 100% feel sorry for the person who kidnapped me. Because I will be bitching and talking and fucking complaining the whole time. So that's on them. But I was dancing my little fucking gypsy heart out. Up at the piazza to some tango music with some guy playing the violin. And I was having a fucking blast. The absolute time of my life. And here Pops is getting ready to call the fucking authorities. Like, even a missing person gets 48 hours first, honey. So, yes, I am using this podcast to talk about my trip because, like I said, despite that I have a decent-sized listening audience, nobody has emailed me. So this podcast is kind of morphing into just a platform for me to overshare and have some kind of a weird creative-ish warped, dysfunctional outlet, and I like it. So if it's not for you, well, it's for me now, and you are welcome to listen if you feel like it, if you feel like punishing yourself. So are you out there? Again, do you have a pulse? Which leads me to my probably, this is unfucking fortunate, my best travel story from this trip. Every medical professional's nightmare. Plane takes off, and you know what I'm going to say. Is there a physician or a nurse on the plane? Fuck. Fuck me. I sure fucking hope there is. I sure fucking hope there is. Man, on that big ass bird international flight, there has got to be a physician or a nurse other than my ass on that fucking plane. So I carefully used my peripheral vision and looked around to see if there was any scurrying to the location or anywhere on the plane. And I did not see any motion. So here's the deal. When I used to work critical care, once upon a long ass time ago, when I was actually, you know, young, not crusty, there was a thing. When there was a code blue, okay, this is just going to be so unreassuring to people listening out there, but when there was a code, you know, people like to respond to those. You've got your heroes in every damn hospital, and they like to respond. And if you're not somebody who likes to be a hero, well, you kind of give it a second, just a second, and you see who's going to actually respond. And hopefully you're not going to have to. We called it a slow code. So here I am on this plane, slow coding my way back there to assess the situation, which I immediately fucking regretted because, to my non-surprise, there were not only one, but two doctors, doctors in quotes. I'm not sure what kind of doctors. I mean, proctologists, eye doctors, spin doctors, computer doctors. I hope to fucking the heavens they weren't actually medical doctors who spent time in school, because the stupidity I witnessed was rampant. And oh my God, all my years, I don't know if I've seen anything. You know, I've seen it. I take that back. I've seen a lot of dumb things. But this was definitely topped the list. So they are back there. I don't think they assessed the situation at all and immediately decided the guy needed chest compressions. Not once did they think maybe he passed out because of the change in cabin pressure, because we are ascending and you know, going up, and that happens. Never stop to think that. And in any situation, get the man out of his motherfucking cushioned seat. Put his ass on the floor. Lift his damn legs up, you know, see if you can get some blood flow back up to his damn brain. But if you do have to do chest compressions, you want a hard surface behind him. You're accomplishing absolutely fuck all by trying to do compressions on somebody with a soft surface behind them, especially sitting upright in their bougie airplane seat. So I was absolutely dismayed and almost didn't have words. No, I said almost. They were using no diagnostic advice either. They do have AED machines on planes, which are a diagnostic advice device, should I say. So I don't know what the fuck was going on back there. I feel guilty that I didn't get back there first, because I can tell you that situation would not have gone like that. But number one, I'll give you some like inside scoop. As I said, chest compressions have to be performed on a person in a manner that effectively squeezes the heart, which is why you need them, because your heart isn't squeezing so you can circulate blood. Okay, that cushion seat, like I said, it did fuck all to help anybody. Number two, as I said, people do commonly pass out on flights during ascension. And I am unaware, completely unsure, why nobody considered that that might be a working diagnosis. And they went straight for the chest, other than the fact that somebody was wanting to be a hero. No use of any diagnostic machines. Like I said, AEDs, they are on airplanes and they are great. A monkey could use them and be successful. Jesus Christ, it's the only damn thing. Instead, they asked for a glucometer. Whatever. At first, I thought they said pedometer, and I'm pretty sure that the airline stewardess said pedometer. A pedometer actually tracks your steps. I can tell you how many steps that guy was taking. Zero. But he sure did fucking take some steps off the goddamn plane, because that man did not have a cardiac arrest. As yours truly said, he passed out. All he needed was his legs raised and some smacking around and wake the fuck up. I just went back to my seat. And then a miracle happened. And this man awoke. And of course, the heroic pair felt pretty goddamn good about themselves. And clearly, they saved that man's life. So much that the guy even walked off the plane. We had to emergency land for this whole charade. And the guy walked off the plane. he could have at least limped. My final point is nobody is fortunate enough. They're barely fortunate enough to have a goddamn cardiac arrest in a hospital and survive it at this rate and time. But on a plane and receive shitty chest compressions and then wake up and walk off the plane. That doesn't happen. He did not have a fucking cardiac arrest. Like I said, for the fifth time now, you're probably tired of fucking hearing me say it. The man passed out. He received chest compressions he absolutely did not need. I guess it probably did wake me the fuck up. I'd be like, what the fuck are you doing on my chest, you fucking ape? Get off. But that man, from now on, will now do everything in his power to never pass out again. And you will also, now that you've heard this shit show. But when the paramedics, we landed in London, when they got on the plane to take the patient off, they said, this is probably a really bad English accent, but I'm going to try it. You were really at the edge of the knuckle there now, weren't you, mate? Bloody hell. Had a fainting spell and he got the whole cock now, didn't he? So need I say more? Need I say more? I only wished I could have been the one to say that. I would have said it with the accent too. So the answer is yes, he did have a pulse. And so do you. So I'm going to wrap this podcast up with a request. Please email me at tattlepod@gmail.com. Don't let me down. Show me some support. If I wanted to be let down, I would start fucking dating again, okay? So let me hear from you. Ciao for now. And remember, never be ashamed to tattle to your mother.